part five of our Galatians series, and I want to talk about how we are led by the Spirit into freedom. I'm not talking about guidance, you know, led by the Spirit in making a decision, but into freedom. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he will lead you to experience three kinds of freedom that the Spirit will lead you into. Before we talk about those three types of freedom, I want to give a brief overview of some of what we've just read. Okay, so if you look at that diagram there, spirit versus flesh. Flesh doesn't mean your body, sitting there looking all beautiful this morning. Flesh basically means your natural human state apart from God. And there is a tussle going on between the leftover natural human state, which tends towards sin. I'm talking about when you're a Christian, and the Holy Spirit, who is inside you. You're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit in you. But there's this tug of war, if you like, between the spirit and the flesh. This flesh can be defined as the urge to do what comes naturally as a fallen human being. You know, we all grew up cut off from God, didn't we? We weren't born Christians. We learned to react and cope and think in certain ways, and these patterns became ingrained. We sinned. We desired certain sins. So the flesh is that old, some old hymns call it the relics of sin, the leftovers, the kind of what you are without God. But you have the Holy Spirit, so you're not alone in the fight. But God did not wave a magic wand when you became a Christian and got rid of all your passions and desires for bad things. Some of those things went, but there are always going to be some things that are still there that are trying to attract you towards them. God didn't just press the clear button. You know, on a computer, my father-in-law, just quick aside, when he used to come back from holiday, he used to have like 100, 200 emails, and he just used to do control A, delete. Just wipe the lot, and he said, if it's important, the people will write to me again. But you see, God hasn't deleted all your old longings and desires, but you have the Holy Spirit in you to help you in the fight, to subdue and overcome and put to death those things. So the flesh is that, it's the old human nature apart from God. I've just defined it. And in the passage, there are some categories. The first category, which we read of flesh, is verse 19, and it's sexual license. That just means sexual freedom, you know, doing whatever you like. So sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, that's one category. It's to do with sex. The next category in the reading is in verse 20, and it's spiritual rebellion. So things like idolatry, you know, worshipping something more important than God, sorcery, occult, witchcraft, etc. Then you've got, and this is a big one, social strife, I've called it. That's if you look down, if you've got a Bible, verses 20 to 21, and it contains things like enmity, jealousy, fits of anger or rage, selfish ambition, dissension, division. So it's kind of, and this can creep into churches. You know, you get envious, you get jealous, there's infighting, etc., between even Christians, because the flesh hasn't been removed. And the last little category there is what I call sordid excess. That's verse 21. And that's things like drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. So the list is not full. There's even more to this very ugly list. Now, the Holy Spirit is dead set against these things. Dead set against them. But there's one other category in the whole book of Galatians, not listed explicitly here, and it's this one, self-effort religion. That is also an act of the flesh. getting all religious and striving and human sweat and self-effort is actually flesh, not spirit. It's not relying and leaning on God's help. It's you doing it yourself, DIY religion. And one theme of Galatians is you don't need to go back to this. You don't need to go back to law, legalism and rituals if you want to control your flesh, because it itself is a flesh thing. It's a fleshy solution. You cannot control your desires by getting religious. You might last for a while, but it will fail. It's a ball and chain. Okay? God's solution is to start with the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, yeah, everyone here I trust is saved. When you got saved, you started with the Holy Spirit. Well, how does God expect you to carry on? By leaning and relying and walking with the Holy Spirit. Relationship with God. Start in the Spirit, continue in the Spirit. Don't start in the Spirit and then go back into religious rituals and rules. Because you see, Christians are very susceptible, and I've been susceptible, that when things get tough, you think, well, I'm failing, so I better bung in a few rituals and rules to make me get along. And along comes what I call the Gospel Plus salesman. You know, the Gospel Plus salesman, he comes along to you and he goes, you're not doing very well there, are you? You're not praying much. You need to, you know, beat yourself up. You need to start having a bath in cold water every morning. Or you need to make a calendar and put on the calendar every time you pray and every time you fail with crosses and ticks. I've done that. Mad, isn't it? Don't listen to the Gospel Plus salesman. He'll come along and say, you need a bit of religion, don't you? No, you don't. You need to go to God and rely on the Spirit. This passage mentions flesh 6 times, but it mentions the Holy Spirit 7 times. It says things like, live by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, bear fruit by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Some translations say walk in the Spirit. It's all by the Spirit. That is God's resource that you have sitting inside you this morning, the Lord himself. And if you add religion on top and striving, you're not adding, you're subtracting. Bit of maths for you. Addition means subtraction. So you add to God's grace and his Spirit by doing this and doing that and beating yourself up, you're actually subtracting. Addition is subtraction. Don't add law to grace. Okay. So what's the first freedom the Spirit leads us into? It's found in verses 13 to 15. It's the freedom to serve others in love. Okay? You have been set free. We sang it in Amazing Grace. My chains have gone. I've been set free. You have been set free, and I've been set free, whether we realize it or not, to love each other and serve each other. That is what we've actually been set free to do. And you can. Let me just look at the passage, if you can follow. It says, verses 13 to 15. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another, humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Now, on the screen there, it says, second line down, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Now, that could mean, you know, drinking and sex and all that, but I think in this particular section, he's really talking about religion. Don't use your freedom to indulge in a bit of religion, but love each other instead. You know, because if you get religious, do you know what happens when people get religious in churches? I don't know if you've experienced this. They start to have a bit of infighting. You know, you look down your nose at other people. Well, they're not as good as me. You look down your nose. You know, in the Greek, when the Pharisees despised Jesus, the actual translation, my Greek scholars here can check up on this, it's something like they looked down their snouts at Jesus. You know, you kind of compare. You say, well, that person's kosher, that person's not. You think, well, that person's in, that person's out, and there's envy and jealousy. And what you end up doing is you end up devouring each other in pettiness. I made a little list. Jealousy, competition, criticizing, hard-heartedness, judging one another, one-upmanship, who's in, who's out. And you persecute the spiritual person, like Ishmael last week. He was religious. He persecuted the spiritual Isaac. And this is what ends up happening. Hope you don't mind this picture. Do you know when sharks have a feeding frenzy? Don't know if you like sharks. But if they come across a shoal of like mackerel or a shoal of sardines in swimming together in a ball shape, the sharks all go for it. But what they do in all the frenzy, they start to eat each other as well. They sometimes get it wrong and start biting each other. And that's what happens if you get a lot of religious stuff going on in a church. You end up hurting people by being religious. So we're called to love. That's one freedom the Spirit has led us into. And yeah, it may not be easy, but you've got the Holy Spirit to do it. Now, look at those two pictures there. Can I suggest to you that the religious person who's striving in all his own effort is like the bicyclist? Yeah, he can go places, but it's all self-effort, and eventually you'll get tired. The Christian is like the person on the motorbike, because the Christian has an inner engine propulsion from the inside that helps them keep going. Now, the motorcycle driver still has to do stuff. He can't just do nothing. He's still got to use his brakes and think where he's going, and you know, he's got to put his gear on. You know, there is stuff to do, but it's a lot different than the cyclist. Religion is external. Religion is restraints and rules, and it's kind of, yeah, it's okay, but it isn't okay, because it's all about you. The Holy Spirit is like riding a motorbike. But you still got to do things. You don't do nothing, but you rely on a different power source. That's what I've really felt to tell you this morning. We are freed. We're set free to love each other humbly, not to get all religious. Right. What's the second freedom? Well, the second freedom is to fight. You've been set free to fight. And I don't mean fight each other, not fighting each other in the church. You have been set free, and I've been set free, but to fight sin. We really, really can. Now, if you look at that passage, this is found in verses 16 to 18. The freedom to fight. I'll just read that a minute. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. That means relying just on religion. Let me show you a picture. This passage is a description of a battle going on. As a Christian, you do have a conflict inside you. You're not completely free of conflict. Can I tell you about that hymn? You know, there's a great hymn we sometimes sing called Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. You know that one? Well, there's a verse in it that I don't quite agree with, although it has its truth. You know, it says, perfect submission, all is at rest. I, my Saviour, am happy and blessed. Now, of course, there's a truth in that. But when you become a Christian with the Holy Spirit, it's not all at rest. There's a war. I don't know about you, but I still get tempted to think on certain lines and behave all apologetic or do this or do that. I get tempted, and it's flesh. There is a war. There's a glorious war. But because you got the Holy Spirit, you can actually fight. Whereas before, you couldn't fight. Before, you were like this guy. Now for the count. Boom. Without the Holy Spirit, you're a loser. Do you know that? Religious people, without the Holy Spirit, are a loser. They're losers, because it says in the Bible that if you're under the law, you're under a curse. You're a cursed loser if you're just striving under the law and regulations and rituals. But if you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got the... Have you ever seen the film Rocky, where you've got the coach is there? Come on, Rocky, get up, get up. You've got the coach next to you telling you you can get back up from the boxing floor and keep on fighting. That's the Holy Spirit in you. You want another analogy? I don't know if you've seen the film program Band of Brothers, the World War II TV series. Well, there was a soldier over there on the left picture called Blythe. And Blythe is absolutely terrified. He hides in a foxhole. He won't fire his gun. He's scared. He just cries for mummy, which is understandable in a battle. But he's got this officer with him called Major Winters. And Major Winters is saying, come on, Blythe, you can fight. You've got a rifle. You're equipped. Get up. Start putting it, pour it on them, Blythe. And he encourages Blythe to start shooting back at the enemy. And that major officer is a bit like the Holy Spirit. We're not alone in the struggle. We're not alone. We have all the resources. It's a bit like D-Day, when the Allies landed on the beaches at France. It was it wasn't just same old, you know, on the defence. They were able to actually go on the attack. They were able to progress. They were able to start to march towards victory. That's having the Holy Spirit in the Christian's heart. And one thing to say about this battle is when you are winning, it's fairly obvious. You know, if people have got the fruit of the Spirit, you kind of see if they've got joy, if they've got peace, if they're gentle and kind, if they're long-suffering, it's fairly obvious what flag is flying. You know, some wars, you don't know what flag is flying. You don't know who's winning. The war in Ukraine at the moment, we don't really know who's winning. But you see, with this battle, eventually it will become clear. Eventually. If the acts of the, it says in this verse, in this book, it says that the acts of the sinful nature or the flesh, they're obvious. They're obvious. You can tell if the flesh is getting the upper hand. If people are being jealous, if they're getting angry and not forgiving or maybe getting into drunkenness, you know it's obvious. Now, I want to just share this because Tony lent me a cassette by a preacher who mentions Jekyll and Hyde. And I want to just say something. Do you all know who Jekyll and Hyde were? It's a book by Robert Louis Stevenson. And it's about a very respectable, clean-living, upright doctor called Dr. Jekyll. And Dr. Jekyll invents a potion, like a drug. And when he drinks it, he turns into a beast called Mr. Hyde. And Mr. Hyde does all kinds of really sinful things. And he tries for a while to resist taking the potion, but he quite enjoys the fact, the things he gets up to when he's Mr. Hyde. And he gradually becomes more and more addicted to drinking the potion, and he cannot resist, and he ends up, in the end, committing suicide because he can't cope with this dual personality. Now, without the Holy Spirit, that's what you are. You're nice and respectable outside, but inside there's a beast. There is. And if I gave you enough beer, not talking about you're Christians, but if you were not, if I gave you enough beer, you could really let your hair down and become that beast and do all kinds of terrible things that you would never do here on a Sunday. But you are not just Jekyll versus Hyde. You today are Jekyll plus the Holy Spirit versus Mr. Hyde. You have the victor in you and you don't have to become Mr. Hyde. That's the, you're not fighting alone. Now, one other little analogy. I love pictures, by the way, images, as you've probably guessed. The other thing to say about this is before you were a Christian, before you got the Holy Spirit, before he set you free to fight, do you know what we were all like? We were like a dead fish floating down the stream. You know, a dead fish, it can't do anything. It just floats down. It can't really stop itself. It just floats down on the current. Whereas with the Holy Spirit, you are now enabled to swim upstream. You are able to be like those salmon, able to battle things. You don't have to just go, oh, I've got to do it. You know, like Oscar Wilde, who said, what is it? He said something like, the only thing about temptation is I have to give in to it. You know, we can battle upstream. So let me ask you a question. If you went to watch some fish in a river and you saw one going against the current, going upstream, what does that tell you about that fish? It tells you it's alive. It is going the other way like this with its eyes shut, little X's. It's dead. But you see, we've got the Holy Spirit. So you are free to fight and not be just... like that, a dead fish floating down the stream. Okay, the third freedom, racing through. The last main freedom I want to talk about is the freedom to grow godly fruit. You know, can I just say, religious people cannot grow fruit in their lives because external rules and regulations do not produce fruit. Do you remember that in the past, in the Victorian era, we had what was called Victorian prudery? Everything was very orderly and organised. And then as you get into the 1960s, I mean, I was born just towards the end of the 1960s. We had the kind of sexual revolution where everyone just, yeah, let's get rid of all the rules. Let's all go crazy. You know, the hippie and all that kind of thing. And they kind of rebelled against rules. But then there was a swing back. I don't know if you know, but there are some English people today that are quite attracted by Islam. Why? Because, I mean, I go to Worcester Park and I see a lot of white English Muslim people. Why is that? I think it's because Islam has a set of rules and regulations and it's very nicely ordered. And it's almost a kicking back against the pendulum, which has gone too far the other way. They don't want to be all free and easy. They want some discipline in their life. So they run to Islam. But can I just say, rules and regulations cannot produce fruit. It's all external. It can only control you for a while. And the fruit described in this passage, if you look at it, it's in verses 22. I'll just read it. A beautiful, beautiful list. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Well, did you notice that the word fruit is singular? It's one fruit. It's all coming from Jesus. Now, it's not a fruit bowl. What I mean by that is you can't pick and choose. You can't say, oh, I like the nectarine, but I don't like the lychees. Or the strawberries. I don't like, you can't pick and choose the fruits of the Spirit. You can't say, for example, I will be very faithful at work, but don't expect to see any joy. I'm a bit of a grumpy so-and-so. You can't say, I'll be very kind to my cat and my mum, but I will not show patience to that irritating person in the traffic. Whatever. You can't, you've got to have the whole lot. It's not a fruit bowl. You can't pick and choose. And some of us have natural strengths. I mean, I'll be honest with you. You might disagree, but my natural strength, I would say, is mostly to be gentle. I'm naturally a gentle person, wouldn't hurt a fly. But that isn't necessarily a fruit of the Spirit, you see, because I can be gentle, but I can have no patience at all with my computer or my printer. Absolutely none. I even jumped up and down on a printer once and smashed it to pieces. Now, that isn't the fruit of the Spirit, my gentleness. That's my natural. And what the Lord is challenging us today, he's saying, look, if you're going to say you've got the fruit of the Spirit, look at that list. Look at that list there. Everyone should do it. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Look at that list and ask yourself, which one am I weakest at? Which one are you weakest at in that list? Because that might indicate how much of the fruit of the Spirit you actually have. Okay? Because I can tell you from experience, my probably weaker ones, probably joy. I'm a bit of an Eeyore sometimes.
Oh, depressing.
You know, I'm probably a bit weak on self-control, not with people so much, but with things. Computers, for example, are really wind me up. And you need to ask yourself, well, how much of this fruit am I displaying? Because it's all one. And that's quite challenging. Look at the weakest. I reckon your homework today, go home and look at the weakest on the list and say, well, what am I weakest at? And say, Lord, help. I want to grow the whole entire fruit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is one, it's singular, and it's more like this fruit. I don't know if you've ever heard of something called the fruit salad plant. No? It's called the fruit salad plant. Another name for it is the Swiss cheese plant. And another name for it is the Monstera Deliciosa. Monstera Deliciosa. Very Italian. But do you know what? This fruit, it's one fruit, but it has a taste of very different fruit. It tastes like a banana, it tastes like a pineapple, and it tastes like a coconut. And you bite it, you go, is that a banana? Well, that's a bit of pineapple. Well, that tastes like coconut. And it's a really weird fruit. And I think it's a great picture of the fruit of the Spirit. We are to have all these characteristics. Now, just to encourage you, in case you're feeling down, it's a very slow process. Fruit grows gradually and slowly, so don't lose heart. It's gradual. You'll take a long time to grow this. But you can, because you've been set free by the Holy Spirit to grow godly fruit. Amen. That's true. The other thing to say is it's his fruit. It's not yours. It's his fruit. It's a beautiful character sketch of Jesus. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do any of you remember the bracelets? What would Jesus do? Do you ever remember those? They're a bit tacky, aren't they? But WWJD, what would Jesus do? You get them on the back of cars. Well, I'll tell you what Jesus would do. This. Or what Jesus would be. He would be joyful, love-filled, peaceful, kind, goodness, faithful, gentleness, self-control, patient. That is the character sketch of Christ. Fruit grows gradually, though, so be encouraged. It's going to take a long time. And also, it's his. It's not yours. And also, you just need the right conditions. You've got to abide in Christ. Abide in me, he said. If you abide in me, you'll bear fruit. It's not something created by religion. It's by just having a relationship with God, walking with him, sitting with him, listening to him, loving him. And it's like the right conditions, the sunshine, the rain, the soil, the seed. The seed is Jesus. The rain, that's his presence. The sun is his presence. All these things, but gradually the fruit will come, and it's inevitable. It's inevitable if you walk with Jesus. You will bear fruit. But religion won't get you there. Okay. Now, my last point, I've said three things. I've said so far you've been freed up by the Spirit, led by him to be free to love each other, serve each other. You've been freed up to fight sin, and you've been freed up to grow godly fruit. Now, the last point, it's a bit of a warning shot. The warning shot is you can lose your freedom. You can abuse it. You can abuse your freedom given to you by the Holy Spirit. We're to try and keep walking on the right path. Now, some of you in the group room, I know Julian and Tony are walkers. And Ray, he's out the back. They love walking. And I don't know if you guys have ever walked here on that. It's a place called Striding Edge in the, is it the Lake District? Striding Edge. Now, at Striding Edge, apparently, I've never been there because I'm lazy. But if you walk along it, it's a nice walk. But either side, you've got these two big valleys created by glaciers, I think. Long time ago. But obviously, the idea is you should just walk along the top, not slide down. Now, the problem with Christians is sometimes we can slide down into one of two valleys. Okay? You can either slide down into keeping rules and regulations and getting all religious. That's like a cage. It's called the cage of legalism. You can slip into that. And the other thing you can do is you can think, well, Jesus forgives everything, so I'll just do what I want. And you can slide down the other side into the swamp of license. That means swamp of sin. And once you're in a cage, it's very hard to get out. Once you're in a swamp, it's hard to get out. And all the Lord really wants us to do is keep relationship with him. Keep staying on striding edge. Keep walking in the path of freedom. It's not a big effort. It's just having keeping that relationship with the Lord. And then you won't fall down either of those two valleys. Right. The last two verses of the reading today also give us some little things we have to do as a Christian. It says this in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And all that means, I think it's reminding us, Paul is reminding us of our conversion. You know, he's saying when you were converted, think back, you crucified, you know, you repented of passions and sins, didn't you? And what he's saying is you need to keep that as your ongoing attitude towards sin. So in other words, it's a decisive commitment to Christ to not play with sin, to not go back and dabble with it, to not toy with it, to not try and, you know, take the nails out. It's we're to cut the sinful links. And I suppose what Paul is saying here, he's saying don't entertain, play with or flirt with, don't flirt with sin. The thing about crucifixion is it's pretty painful. It's not nice, but it's permanent. You kind of, you leave someone on the cross until they're dead, don't you? You don't go and take them down. You leave them there. So if you've got a habit, and I know I've had them, if you've got a habit which can come back to haunt you, you say, Lord, I'm committed to you. I crucified that. It's staying on the cross. You say, Lord, help me. And you just say, that stays there. It's going to stay there and hang there until it dies. I'm not going to take it down off the cross and start, just flirting with it again. That is the kind of meaning there. And there's a verse in Romans which says the same thing. It says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. You know, I would like to tell you a story now. I've got just two stories and then we're finished. This story, and this is a story about a boy who was, he loved swimming. He loved swimming, but the swimming pool was really, really expensive. So he used to go down to the local canal and swim in the canal. But his mother said to him, his mum said, it's very dangerous, Johnny. Don't go in the canal. You could drown. You're not allowed to go swimming in the canal. And then one day, mummy was walking along by the canal, and she bumped into her son, Johnny, and he was walking towards her looking very wet, carrying a pair of wet swimming trunks and a towel and a pair of goggles. And she said to him, have you been swimming in the canal when I told you not to? He said, I'm really sorry, Mum. It was such a hot day. I thought I'd just go and look at the water. And then when I was there, I got tempted. And she said, well, if that's all you did, why did you take with you your swimming trunks, your towel and your goggles? And he said, well, Mummy, I took those items with me in case I got tempted. And it's a picture of us, you know, we're playing with that sin and kind of making provision for it. When the Lord says, just nail it to the cross. Be brutal on it. And the last verse of the passage, I won't read verse 26, but verse 25, talks about keeping in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Spirit. What does that mean? Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Well, all I think it means each day we are to align ourselves with what the Spirit would have us do. Don't beat yourself up and get religious, but just align yourself. It doesn't take a lot of effort to walk. Walking is quite easy. But you've got to do it yourself. You've got to, you know, get up and walk. You know, if you're out of step with God's Spirit, if you're not aligning yourself each day with the Holy Spirit, it's actually quite easy to realign. It's just you come to him. You say, Lord, you come to his word, the Bible. You just come to him in a very simple prayer and say, Lord, I need you. It's a simple process of realigning. So don't neglect the Bible. You don't have to read 10 chapters a day, but just come to it. Don't neglect the Bible. Don't neglect coming to church, even coming to church. Yeah, you can miss sometimes, go on holiday, that's fine. But you come because not because you're being legalistic, but because you want to align yourself with the Spirit. He teaches you through the church. Align yourself with the Spirit. And it's quite easy to get back in step. When I was in the Air Training Corps as a cadet, I was in the ATC, we used to march, and sometimes I would get out of step with the rest of the squad. I don't know if any of you were in the military, but to get back into step is actually quite easy. So what I want to encourage you is if you feel out of sync with God, just come to him. It's not a big, massive work. But get in step with the Spirit. And if you read the Bible, he will fill your heart with beautiful music that will be better than the music of the world. And I want to finish with my last story of about music. Greek mythology, Orpheus and the Argonauts. I think he was in a ship, this captain Orpheus, and he was going on his boat past some very dangerous rocks, and there were these creatures singing, trying to distract him. And they were called the Sirens. Now, the Sirens were kind of beasts. They were half women, half birds, and they would sing beautiful music. And if you listened to what they were singing to you, your ship would end up smashing into the rocks and being sunk. So Orpheus, he said, we're not having this. Orpheus got out his harp, and he started to play the most beautiful music, which was superior music and singing compared to what the Sirens were doing. And the sailors were so entranced by Orpheus and his beautiful singing, his superior music, they ignored what the Sirens were doing, and they got through safely. And I think that's a picture. If we just read our Bibles simply and love the Lord, he will fill our hearts with good music, and it won't be the stuff you get on the telly. It won't be the stuff the world is telling you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit in each one of us. Thank you we are set free, Lord, to love each other humbly. Thank you we are set free to fight against sin. And thank you, Lord, we are set free to grow godly fruit. Help us, Lord, to do that. Help us to keep in step with your Spirit. Help us put to death those things that shouldn't be there. But thank you that it's all of grace, because it all comes from a relationship with you and not religion. Amen.